Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Listen to Shoot the Defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Welcome to a very special edition of Shoot the Defense on FNX. I'm your host, Stel, and my guest today is one of the biggest names in e-gaming. He's competed at the FIFA E-World Cup, the Global Series Playoffs, and the FIFA Ultimate Team Champions Cup in Manchester and Barcelona. This gentleman literally broke the internet last week, dropping a video about the new FIFA game, rattling a lot of fanboys in the process. Ladies and gents, it's Kurt Fenech. Kurt, well, welcome to the show, man. I hope I didn't butcher your surname.
No, thanks for having me.
Anytime, mate. Welcome to the show. Great to have you on. And Kurt, before we actually delve into the upcoming FIFA 19, tell me and tell our listeners how you got into e-gaming and how long it actually took you to become a pro player.
It's been about like a couple of years. Obviously, FIFA as an e-sport, it only really started last year. Unfortunately, I actually wasn't even allowed to play last year because I was from Malta and they had some problems with eligible countries. So it pretty much started for me this year. This was my first proper year, and it's just really obviously being really good at the game. If you can, you know, if you just can qualify for events and stuff like that, then you see where you go from there.
So tell me something, because I've seen a few e-gamers. I'm not really as knowledgeable as the in the e-gaming industry. Well, I've seen a lot of gamers with, you know, your Ronaldos, your Messis and all that in their teams. Yeah. And you have to buy these players, right? Because you've got the coins and that kind of stuff.
But yeah, there's two different things. Like at home, you obviously have to buy your own players. But at those events, you know, we get given sort of like an EA account with every player in the game. So it's an even playing field at their events. Like everyone has the same players and, you know, it's even.
Right. So how would you describe your playing style? Because I've seen a few players, they like to keep possession. Some of them like to sit back and hit teams on the counter-attack. What's your style, mate?
Mine's pretty unique, you know, pretty unmatchable. I believe, obviously, ultimately, it's going for, you know, in the last tournament, the World Cup, I managed to score the most goals out of anyone. So, yeah, it's definitely pretty attacking, I describe it as. You know, I don't really like keeping the ball too much. It's just direct. It's fast and let's get as many goals as I can.
Okay. Well, look, I can tell you're a very, very confident person who obviously isn't afraid to speak as mine.
Yeah.
It's refreshing, mate, because a lot of people like to, I don't know, hang back or even toe the line. Now, I know you did a recent interview with Edge Sports. You said you're uncoachable and you actually questioned the thought process behind players that need coaches. Can you elaborate on that?
It's just, to me, in my opinion, like coaching in our sort of areas, like it's like, what's a coach gonna tell me that I don't know? I guess a lot of them are mainly there to keep you calm or, you know, stuff like that, because he's not gonna really tell me anything I don't know about the game. So it's just, for me, I feel like, as I said, like I can control my own emotions. I feel like I can play better when I'm angry and stuff. It's just personal preference. I know I'm in the minority of not having a coach, but it's just my personal opinion. I mean, others obviously prefer having one. I don't really see the benefit in it too much, but it is what it is.
Mm. Would you make of people that rage quit then? No comment, right?
I got a lot of interactions with that. Obviously, at the time, I thought, and I still did, it was the right decision for sure. I actually finished the game, to be honest, contrary to popular belief, but at the time, it was needed for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I understand the reasons behind it, because obviously, a lot of people, it's their profession, you know?
Yeah.
So losing heavily won't make them look good. Back in the day, you know, it is what it is. We've all done it. I mean, I remember throwing a remote control at the television once, playing the old Pro Evolution.
Yeah,
I'm not going to go into that. My friends can vouch for that, to be honest. So look, you, your YouTube channel, you got about 5,500 subscribers, and I know the latest video has over 70,000 views. Now, talk to me about your FIFA 19 video, because I can see you're really not impressed with the game at all.
I only started my YouTube channel the last couple of weeks. I thought, you know, I feel like I can express myself more in videos and stuff. So it's a really good platform for me. Yeah, I played the beta a bit, not too much. And I just gave my honest opinion. After a year like we've had with FIFA 18, I don't think, as I said, the game's been up to the level it should have been. So when I started playing the beta, I was really taken aback. Like, I expected something, like some massive changes and stuff, and I thought it went the other way. So, yeah, I feel like I had to express my opinions on it. Again, it's still only a beta, so, I mean, there is still hope for us, but I just can't see how they're going to fix all that stuff in the space of, a couple of months or something like that when the game comes out soon. So, but again, until the game comes out, I guess we can't really fully judge it, but that was just my honest thoughts.
Do you know what? It's scary how many parallels there are between professional footballers that kick a ball on the pitch to professional e-gamers that play the game with a joypad. And by that, I mean, you know, you're a professional footballer and they're like, you know, they'll play against a non-league team or a lower league team, and you can tell the difference in quality. Whereas you guys, you can immediately tell the difference in quality and the standard of the game just based on picking up the joypad. You said FIFA 18 was a letdown. Now, someone like me, which is another computer game, but you know, you know the difference. So when you say the year that we had for FIFA 18, I've heard this before from other e-gamers, but what does that actually mean? What's happened? What's so bad about it?
Well, yeah, you've just sort of made a valid point of, like, you know, professional footballers compared to non-league. It's obviously like there's a skill gap in video games, which ultimately decides, you know, the competition and stuff. And I felt in FIFA 18, the skill gap was just not as high as it should have been. So, for example, like, I don't know, if we have a tournament, like the last tournament, for example, like, you literally could, we could play it 10 times and there'd be like 10 different winners, I think. And it's scary because, yeah, it's just, there's too much stuff that can happen. I think the gap between, I mean, obviously, you know, no offense, but if I play you, then obviously, you know, I'm going to win by a lot.
I'll be rage quitting after the fifth minute, mate. Don't worry about it.
But like, obviously, when we're playing at the highest level, I don't think there's enough between us. Don't get me wrong, there's still the very, very good players will still stand out more to the ones that are on that level. But I just feel like the skill gap could be so much bigger. And, you know, there's a lot of issues I can get into. But the number one thing, which this year, I mean, I think killed a lot of stuff, is I don't know if you've heard about it, it's the kickoff sort of glitch where, like, you know, if I score a goal and then the guy starts from kickoff, it's like he has a much higher chance of scoring straight away because for some reason my defenders aren't as awake or whatnot. It's something that should not obviously be in a game, and it was in full effect this year. So it's just stuff like that.
So let me explain this to me, because I'm the kind of person, when I score a goal, I'm boring. I just go to ultra defensive. I park the bus. Do you know what I'm saying? So even if you did switch it to that, it wouldn't make any difference?
No, it still wouldn't help. It's just literally something in the code and or in the software of the game where, like, whatever, anytime there's a kickoff, it's like until you touch the ball, I don't know, it's like your defender's just aren't switched on. It's again, it's something that obviously should not be in a game. I know in real football there's a saying that, like, oh, you're most vulnerable when you just scored or something like that, but again, this is taking it next level. Ultimately, it's a video game, you know, it should be all about skill, and it's something that should not be in a game, no way.
Yeah, well, mate, speaking of videos, the one that you did has been very well received with many people applauding your honesty, but the thing is, on the flip side, there are those who actually believe you could and should have approached it differently, and by that I mean sending your concerns directly to EA. Now, with the greatest respect to these people, I'm not sure EA takes much feedback into consideration given the amount of suggestions they receive. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be completely honest right now, straight away. I have never been contacted by EA to pretty much give review on their game or tell them and stuff. I don't believe we have any communication. I don't think there's a guy in particular I can go to and tell him this and that needs changing and they're going to listen to me. This is how I feel after all these years. Maybe in the future that should change, but yeah, as I just expressed everything on there, like, I think this will get more attention from them pretty much seeing it there. than me going directly to them. It's just how unfortunately it is.
Do you know any of the developers or any of the researchers?
No, I mean, the only guy that really spoke to us pretty much left not right. too long ago. And again, like, it was never really direct communication. Hopefully this changes in the future, but for now, we haven't.
Yeah, the thing is, it seems to me that because the game is so popular, they can do whatever they want. I mean, they can make footballers wear, I don't know, no boots, and the game would still be selling out really well because, let's be 100% honest, it's made it now. You know, it's got the monopoly, but it's destroyed Pro Evolution, hasn't it? Let's be fair.
Yeah, no, listen, like, people might think, like, my video got this message where I'm telling people not to buy the game. No, it's the exact opposite. I mean, as I said before, like, we are football. That's the reason we buy the game. It doesn't matter what they do. We're always going to buy it. And I'm not telling people not to. It's one of them things where, like, if you watch a game on the weekend, you know, like, one of the first things you want to do is go play yourself. And whether it's real life, whether it's virtual, it's just, it's a natural reaction, a natural instinct. If you're obsessed with football, that's what you're going to do. And again, like, I fully understand they have the, you know, right now, like, the monopoly of it. Hence why all I want is just for the game to be improved, not for people not to buy it.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm one of these people where I want a computer game or a football game to be realistic. And in previous FIFAs, I can't remember which one it was. I think it might have been 16 or 17. I was playing with Spurs against Arsenal and I had Aaron Lennon on the ball. And he's arguably one of the fastest players in the league. And Per Mertesacker was able to catch up to him. And I'm thinking, that's not really supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Which kind of questions certain things. But, you know, you mentioned in the video players or e-gamers switching the ball from flank to flank. And again, that's not really real, is it? You don't see that. And as you said, 6 minutes. You've got 6 minutes to score a goal. And you've got someone spending half the time switching it from either flank.
Yeah, this is the biggest problem we've got right now between realism and you know, arcade sort of, like, I fully understand people want it to be as realistic as possible. That's I understand that, but it can't be because, as I said, we only have 6 minutes, not 45 minutes. The game cannot be that slow. There has to be sort of a balance. Now, obviously, there has to be real life stuff in it. I mean, it is, you know, real football. At the end of the day, we want to try and make it as close to that, but it can't be like that. It can never be exactly like that because, as I said, there's not enough time for us to, and you know, to create attacks and stuff. We haven't got 45 minutes. We're at half. Like, we've only got 6 minutes, so they do have to keep that in mind. Like, as I said, the pace of the game, it has to naturally be a bit quicker. Like, it can't be that slow. And yeah, what you mentioned with the switching, that was one of the biggest issues this year. Was it? It was really easy to keep the ball, and if you're a viewer, let alone a player, you don't want to watch someone just keeping the ball and you really can't do anything about it. You couldn't really press too much this year, and it happened way too much here, literally, where just people are switching from flank to flank. I mean, if you try that in real life, switching from flank to flank, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I've got two David Beckhams in that team. Right, I was actually fortunate enough to host the Sport Ego E-League show with Brandon Smith and Richard Buckley, two very talented analysts and commentators, and they were actually the voices of the FIFA E-World Cup at the O2 Arena. Now, you've been heavily involved in the evolution of this gargantuan phenomenon that's FIFA Online. How does it feel seeing something like this go from YouTube and Twitch to Sky Sports?
Oh, yeah, no, it's massive. As I said, even the production of the events and stuff, the last one especially in particular that we had at the O2 was truly special. The production of it, you know, when you get there, when you get in the arena and you're like, wow, I mean, the people that have been here, like, that have competed from Anthony Joshua to singers to stuff like that, and now here we are, it's amazing. And as I said, the production did not disappoint at all. I always feel like if we can get now just the basics of the game correct and stuff, we can really even take it even further to the next level.
Tell me something, mate. I know you don't beat around the bush, right? Yeah. Are there too many yes men in this industry? Because let's be 100% honest, we've got some great gamers. You know, you're in the top 20 in the world. You know, but do you think that some of your peers are a little bit too, I don't know, too nicey-nicey?
No, 100%. There's no doubt about it. It's unfortunate to me because maybe it's just me who views things like this, but I see this happen even in real life. To me, it's just, if you're just going to be straight up honest, then we can move forward. Then we can move, you know, admit where you went wrong. Admit why this didn't work as well as you thought, and And a lot of people are just there to like tell them, well, that's not too bad. They're not really there to tell them what they want to hear. And it's just to me, it affects the game, you know. This goes with everything. It's not just in our industry. It's in elsewhere. Like, that's just maybe my personal view, but that's how I look at it.
Mm. Fair enough. Well, I mentioned the Sport Ego E-League tournament that was held at FC 20's ground. Now, this was hosted by a very successful brand known as Bundled. Now, I know Melvin Walters, he's done a superb job putting his brand on the e-gaming map. He's a good friend of mine. What's your stance on e-sports teams? And if Internazionale created the FIFA team, would you be tempted to play for him?
Yeah, they'd be tempted for sure. Yeah, it depends, because there's a lot of football clubs that have went at it with the right directions. PSG, to name one of them, I thought they'd done a fantastic job with it. Unfortunately, there are others that I don't think gave it as much attention as it should have, and maybe didn't, I don't know, respect the players enough and stuff like that to take it to the next level. But it's just at the beginning, so you're going to see this sort of stuff. I don't know where we're going to be headed next year, 5 years, stuff like that, how clubs, if more clubs going to come into it or not. But yeah, it's exciting to see for sure.
I think it's incredible how it's changed, because I mean, with that the Celtic League, we had the likes of, I don't know, Limerick and all these other teams.
Yeah.
And now you've got Wolverhampton Wanderers, you've got Paris Saint-Germain, Man City. Yeah. It's incredible how the e-gaming scope has evolved. But you know, I mentioned Inter, because I know they're a team you follow very closely. And
yeah,
it hasn't been the best of starts to the season, although I guess it was to be expected, yeah, given the amount of players signed this summer. Do you think Spalletti will turn it around?
Yeah, it was really sort of like a shock start, because we went into it expecting we're supposed to be the team that's going to challenge Juve this season. And I mean, to be already 5 points behind, it's going to be hard to bring it back. But I don't know, like, the first game, I sort of didn't mind it as much. Like, we went in and we played really bad. It's just, I thought maybe it's just first game. And then the second game, we went into it. And the first half, we started brilliant against Torino. We thought, like, okay, here we go. And they came out second half, an unrecognizable team, after taking a 2-0 lead. And to me, that's unacceptable to lose points like that at home when you're 2-0 up. And some of the goals we conceded, it didn't make sense. So I'm not sure right now. I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm scratching my head. But I know we've got 9 goal on coming back from injury, so he'll give us a good boost. But hopefully we can start picking up some points, because we need to.
Yeah, see, the thing is, Nagelsmann's a fantastic footballer, but you know, and especially on FIFA, I see many people have him on their foot teams. But
yeah.
Do you think he's going to make that much of an impact to the club in comparison to, say, Icardi? Because if you look at Icardi, I personally believe there's too much expected of him this season.
Yeah. No, I think the reason we need 9 goal more than anything is because, like, our midfield, it's extremely, extremely lackluster. I mean, we were named throughout the transfer window, getting first Vidal and then Modric. Both seemed too good to be true, and we ended up getting neither of them. And I thought we really needed to get one midfielder at least. I mean, we even mentioned with Dembele at the beginning, someone like him could have made so much difference, because at the moment it's not enough quality. So that's why we do need someone like Nainggolan back, because our midfield is just not good enough, in my opinion.
Well, what do you think Nainggolan will bring to the team, mate? Because we know about his antics, which is one of the reasons why Roma got rid of him and why he didn't make the Belgian national team. Can he make that much of an impact at Inter?
Yeah, for sure. I firmly believe he's got everything. He's a complete player. You know, he can give us even like about 10 goals from midfield and something like that. We've been missing that since probably the days of Schneider and players like that, where they could, you know, we've been too reliant on Icardi these days for goals, and where Perisic popping up as well. But we do need goals from midfield, and someone like him can definitely give us that.
Well, there was Rafinha, wasn't there, last season? And I think many people were surprised why Inter didn't take a punt on bringing him back on a permanent basis.
Yeah, I was shocked as well. He played really good for us. He gave it everything to get us in the Champions League, which was our objective. But things didn't turn out like that. Maybe the price was too much, I'm not sure. But they went with Nainggolan instead, who's pretty much going to be playing in that position. I do think, obviously, Nainggolan's a better player right now than him. So hopefully he can live up to that now.
Mm. And are you concerned there may be too much expected of Icardi this season? Because, look, he's a goal machine. He got over 30 goals last season, I think it was. Over 25 at least. Do you think there's the likes of Politano and Martinez have got a lot to do?
Yeah, I think the good news is though, like that he's sort of been dealing with it like the last few years. As I said, it's been pretty much a card dependent. So he's sort of expecting that. I think this year is the first year we've actually given him some support. We've got Keita, we've got Lautaro Martinez, who's this kid is special. I really do believe he can go. He can become something really, really massive in the sense like I'm comparing him to even players like Dybala and stuff like that. I think he can be better than them. But he needs some playing time. Yeah, so I think these players are only going to help sort of lift the load a bit of Icardi. I mean, but they do need to start integrating a bit quick. Is it at a team like Inter that if things are not going right, yeah, fans start turning on you and stuff. So hopefully we can start getting some results.
Great stuff. Well, Kurt, look, mate, thank you ever so much for your time. I really hope you can come back on the show at some point. We do Premier League and Serie A reviews and European football, so it'd be great to have you back on and we can discuss things further. Before I let you go, not that you need to do this, because obviously people are going to be listening for you, but can you remind our listeners of your Twitter handle?
Oh, yeah, my Twitter is at Kurt0411FIFA.
Great stuff. Great stuff. And before I let you go, is there anything upcoming for you? Got any events or any tournaments coming up?
No, pretty much no. We wait for the next game when it releases next month, and then we have to grind that one. And then they haven't really given us our schedule yet for the competitive season, but we'll see when the first event is.
The calm before the storm, as they say.
Yeah.
Well, Kurt, thank you ever so much for joining me, mate. And those of you still listening, you can follow us on Twitter at Shoot Defence. We also have a Facebook group page. Get involved. Let us know what you think of e-gaming. It's absolutely massive at the moment. A lot of people are talking about it, so get involved in the debate. So until next time, guys, take care.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.